The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-room-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Yes, we are.
Barely, by the seat of our pants.
No kidding. I mean, this has been the beginning of an interesting show.
Yes. We made it with 5 seconds to spare today.
This is glad tidings.
Yes.
So obviously, I'm going to, I seem to lead off with this. What happened to you this week?
It's been a pretty good week, actually. I don't even know what to say. It's been a pretty good week.
Okay.
Sometimes you just feel like even though there may be troubles or you have some worries or things going on that need some attention, sometimes you can still just feel super positive and having faith that everything's going to turn out okay, right? So there's some stuff. There's some worrisome stuff on my plate right now that I don't want to give attention to, so I won't name it.
Right.
But I just feel super positive. I feel like everything's going to be fine. I'm not worried about it, which is not like me. Normally, I kind of fret and worry, and, I have a little bit of anxiety. Like, I have medication for when I start having anxiety that I can't calm down,
Right.
And so typically, I just worry things to death, and I'm not there this week. I just feel super okay and confident. So, that's nice.
Sounds good.
That's nice. And tomorrow or Friday evening is the local paper, the little Bohemian, North Bay Bohemian paper, has their party for all of the best of winners. So, local people vote for their favorite local businesses.
Right.
These hundreds of categories. And Milk and Honey has won best erotic shop because we do carry some erotic supplies.
Ooh.
It's a tenth of what we have in the shop, but whatever, I'll take awards. I love it.
Of course.
And I actually won an award myself.
Really?
Started a new category.
And that is?
Best psychic.
Holy moly. Congratulations.
I'm not sure how I won, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much. So we're going to the party tomorrow night to have food and drinks and have our picture taken. So in the paper,
it'll all be there.
And you're like, hey, we won shit.
Yeah. Make sure you keep it.
Yeah.
I know over the time when I started my store, way, way back, the Bohemian actually did a whole article on, it was around Halloween and around, some, psychics and woo-woo people and stuff. And they got my store and me, and I still have it, and it's there, but I got on the front of the Bohemian holding some crystal ball, and at the time I had nice long nails, so it really looked very, very dramatic.
Yeah.
But I am like jacked for you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's weird, because I'm good at marketing workshops and classes and, hey, we have this fun thing going on. Come in and have fun and learn. But I'm really not good at going, hey, look at me.
I know.
This is one of those moments where I kind of have to do that.
Right.
It's weird.
Well, but, I understand that. So, but it's one of those things where, especially when I started out in doing this in a more public way, it hit all my bells and whistles of not what people would think of me, but the fear of what we've gone through in generations past, being what we are, who we are, and being out of the mainstream and, all of that. So,
we live in a progressive area here. You know, so when you tell someone you're a witch or you're a pagan, they go, oh, does that mean you're Wiccan? And, you know, most people get it. But there's still people who don't and who are uncomfortable or afraid or whatever. And so, yeah, there is that, that little nervous edge. But, yeah.
It's, but here we are sustained by that sense of community that is much bigger than in other places.
Absolutely. So, blah, blah. No big deal. How are you?
Oh, well, let's see. I mean, it's been actually a good week. Same. I mean, I have things that are on my plate that are difficult. And I've been trying to, you know, keep a focus of, you know, an upbeat, you know, progressive point of reference. And, you know, I was able to get my car smogged and I was able to get, you know, the money for all of the repair that had to go in. I actually have made it and paid it off. So that made me feel really kind of like one off of my plate, you know, one little pee off. And, you know, just prepping for this show as much as one can prep for what are daily practices. Very interesting subject we chose. And just having an interesting time. I started watching Moana, which is Disney Pixar film. Excellent film. And I'd seen it in the theater and then with my daughter back in Arkansas at Christmas time, and then I saw it again with my stepdaughter and family at their house. And then I went out and I got the DVD. And now what I do is I put it on before I go to bed. So if we're talking ritual, this is one of my rituals. It isn't a spiritual in one sense, but like
but
we,
it is. You have that Hawaiian magical background.
And that's why I chose that. Because there is a part of me that is looking for a reconnect, a reset. And this is such a truly delightful experience of seeing them tell a story. About a tradition in an honorable way. And I was just so, you know, and of course the songs are always cute and there's always something there and it, you know. So that's been my new thing. And I guess to lead in, that's been my new ritual. So that, but it's remembering who I am. It's really important right now.
Very cool.
So there we are with our masterful check-in. And now,
daily practice.
Daily practices. How do we go about this?
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to start with or mention early was, you know, some folks find their way into magical systems or witchcraft or even paganism because they're looking for magic, right? And that's okay. If your entry road is spell work and spell crafting and that's all you're interested in and you're not looking for anything else, that's totally okay. But for me, and I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like this is probably true for you, but but for me, this is my religion.
This
is
got it.
My spiritual development is connected to witchcraft and connected to paganism and connected to the earth, right? And if you look at any spiritual system, I think sometimes we look at the mainstream religions or even Buddhism and Hinduism and, you know, all these other religions or spiritual systems, because I guess Buddhism's not really religion, depending on who you ask.
Oh, that's true.
But we often think that we're different, but we're not. And so, if you look at those systems, they have daily practices. People recite chants or do the mala prayers or pray or light candles or, you know, whatever, or pray to Mecca. There are these things that they do every day, and there's a reason that they do them every day, and it's because it's part of their spiritual development, their devotion to their religion. So for me, that's what we're talking about, right? Where daily practice is something we do every day because we are trying to become better people. It is part of the path of being a witch to become the best human being I can be. That's what it's all about for me. I understand other people may vehemently disagree, but I think if we're going to be practicing witches and practicing pagans, that includes doing things every day. And so we can, you know, I have a laundry list of stuff we can talk about, but I thought it might be interesting for us to talk about things that we either do or have done.
Sounds
know?
Like a plan.
Because even the stuff that didn't work, because that might be really funny, or, you know.
True. There's always those, you know, put those on posterity for, you know, someone to laugh at later.
Yeah, exactly. Like I had, so I probably have mentioned this before, but in the reclaiming tradition, their initiation is not required.
Uh-huh.
If you decide to become initiated, it's very much about your own spiritual development,
uh-huh.
and it's your personal connection to the reclaiming tradition.
Uh-huh.
Very personal.
Uh-huh.
And one of my initiators gave me a challenge in my process to spend at least 5 minutes a day sitting outside, preferably, but just sitting. Just 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's all I could squeeze out.
Uh-huh.
And I never did it. Never. Never. And I would sit in the bedroom or in the living room or in the kitchen, and I would look outside at the place that I had decided that's going to be my spot.
Right.
That I never sat at. And, and I would think, oh, I should do that 5 minute thing now.
Uh-huh.
And I never did because I can't just sit.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I want to just be in meditation and sit in the lotus position with my fingers in a mudra and chant an om, I can't do it. And so for many years, I felt like a big failure.
Uh-huh.
Because that sort of like silent sitting,
uh-huh.
being meditation,
uh-huh.
it doesn't, I am not good at it.
Yeah. Well, mine is journaling.
Uh-huh.
It's very funny because a very dear friend of mine who has been our audience occasionally here was talking to me the other day and saying she was going through all of her books and finding all the journals, you know, all the books and journals that she'd been done over the years and finding 2 or 3 pages done and then the rest of it is clear. And I'm sitting there laughing and giggling with her saying, I already did that. And I came up with reality that I made one attempt. And I did it. I filled an entire journal book with what I had to do for the year. And that was 2 years ago, after decades of doing this.
Right.
And finding those books that you buy and you love and you think they're beautiful and you start and you write down something profound. And
this
then,
is my new journal. It's a new day.
New day. And what are my thoughts? And, you know, that kind of thing. And then suddenly, like you, 5 minutes a day, whatever it is, goes away.
Yep.
I should be journaling. I've got to go do the laundry, or I've got clients, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I sat there and I thought, well, that was the best I could do, was 1 year out of 20 or so, plus 30, that I did a journal from beginning to end.
Nice.
And I laugh now because I have a beautiful journal that I bought. And I was going to do that last year, and I had a whole thing I was going to do, and at the end of the year, I took it with me to Arkansas and literally started writing in it for the whole year that I should have been writing. I had things I started to do, and of course, I got it halfway through,
right.
and I had to come home and forget about it.
Right.
So I find that very amusing. So yes.
What I find interesting about journaling, which is an excellent daily practice, especially if writing is the
uh-huh.
thing you love to do,
uh-huh.
and I know lots of folks who use their computer to journal, like
uh-huh.
they have an ongoing document, and I cannot do that because
uh-huh.
writing on the computer feels like work to me.
Yeah.
Right. Like I
yeah.
need to handwrite it.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed, because I'm an okay journaler.
Uh-huh.
If I'm in a workshop or a class or if I go to witch camp, I journal a lot because
right.
there's stuff I'm doing and experiencing that I don't want to lose.
Exactly.
But as far as daily writing goes, what I notice is I write when I'm mad or upset or frustrated and I don't know what to do, or I can't express my feelings to the person I'm feeling them about,
uh-huh.
so I write them out or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have these angst-ridden journals. I have dozens of them
uh-huh.
that are pages and pages and pages of me just bitching,
yeah.
complaining, or whining or whatever because I can't do that verbally. I have to put it through the paper to let it go because it's not something that's worth expressing.
Uh-huh.
It just needs to be processed. Yeah.
I know that feeling because when I go through some of the journals that I've done, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So-and-so.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, and I look at that and I go, why do I want to reread something
right.
that is so toxic?
Right.
So I actually have a suggestion, and I use this with my clients a lot, is that I tell people to take loose paper.
Yes.
Write out what you're feeling on a daily basis, whatever it is, focused on whatever's happening or whatever, and then burn it.
Yeah.
And take those ashes and go put them around plants because
compost that.
Compost the stuff rather than hold it in a journal for you to reread or for your, you know, kids to find one day and go, why did they say that about me when I was five? Or why did they say that about Aunt Mary or so-and-so?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I think of maybe because I'm at a different part of my age bracket than a lot of, you know, maybe people that I'm around. I think of, and I've gone through people's things that have passed, so it's been very poignant about it, is that I look at why do I want to leave that as a trail?
It
makes absolutely no sense. It's not that I want people to always think I was joyous because, hey, I'm a human, ain't going to go there, but I would like the things that were written to have more meaning than, she said this to me and I got really pissed, but I couldn't say that to her.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
There are two ongoing journaling practices that I pick up and set back down over the years. One of them is from a book called The Artist's Way.
Yes.
Right? The daily pages.
The daily pages.
You just write three pages.
That's it.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
You write three pages and you do it every day, and it's best to do it first thing in the morning, but you just write. And whatever comes out, even if it's, I hate doing this, I want coffee, this is stupid, you know, whatever. Because it does start to get your creative juices flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that. I did that for several years.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that I pick up, especially when I'm in a hard place, is a gratitude journal, where I write down 3 to 5 things at the end of the day that I am grateful for that I experienced during the day. When I'm in a depression, or when I'm experiencing anxiety, or when stuff is really up and I feel like I have no control, pointing out these things that I actually have beauty in my life, that like this, this one thing today, I ate a bagel and it was delicious, you know?
Yeah.
Remembering those little things I'm grateful for.
Yeah, that's true. So that is, you know, again, people, as you say, there are people that journal and journal and journal, and they get their insights from that. And I know a few people that have that as their gift, and they love doing it as their practice.
Yeah.
For me, I tend to, because I work with energy and because I trained with the kahuna on navigational energy, I run energy. That's, you know, what I do for a practice. And you know, since I'm a Reiki master, I basically use that as part of what I do every morning. And I usually do that in the shower because, to me, with the running water, it seems to just sort of flow with running the energy and moving it through as a, you know, again, a daily practice.
Well, and that's interesting because that's one of the things I wrote down, intentional bathing or your daily ablutions, right? There's this whole concept around taking the things that you're going to do every day and making them a sacred act, right? Then you don't have to, if you have a busy life or you've got little kids or whatever, sometimes it's hard to go, okay, I'm going to meditate now for 20 minutes. All right, 2-year-old, leave mommy alone so I can sit in meditation for 20 minutes. You know, so if you take your shower and you have your intentional bathing, you're not just washing your skin, but you're washing your spirit. Or when you're brushing your teeth, you know, you're taking a moment to recite a prayer or be thankful for the teeth that remain in your head or whatever. Or when you're drinking your coffee in the morning, saying a prayer over that cup and that liquid before you drink it in, so every sip is a prayer. You're, you know what I mean? It's these little things. And even when I was involved with the Druid organization many years ago, we had specific things we did every morning with certain herbs we were supposed to burn and certain chants we were supposed to chant and breath work. And then our first tea, our first release in the morning, we had to do with intention, right? Like grateful for the things that flowed through me and the release, and to hope it goes and just does some good somewhere else or whatever. And at first I was like, this is weird. Peeing with intention is weird, but it is a cycle.
Yeah.
We put things in and things come out.
Right.
And even making that a sacred act is pretty interesting.
I can see that, definitely. my husband used to, my deceased husband, the last one, he was very much a part of that process, I think, because of the way he functioned in terms of going and doing his morning ritual. And then he'd come back and he'd lie back on the bed. It didn't matter whether he had to go to work or not. He would lie back on the bed and he'd relax.
Yeah.
And I was, at first, as you say, I first thought this was really strange, and I looked at this going, wow, that's just so weird.
Mm.
But I got used to, this is part of his ritual to honor what has just happened. And I went, okay, that's not me, but okay.
Yeah, so if you do have a busy schedule and you're thinking daily practice, no one's got time for that, then look at incorporating a daily practice into your already daily activity.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And it's funny because, again, what I see for a busy woman or a busy man who has family or has, you know, many things that they're responsible for in another part of their lives, doing something that can momentarily make what they do sacred allows them to carve the space out that some other people who do have more of an ability, however they do it, to have carved out that time. I mean, I love the idea of meditating. Or, you know, creative visualization or whatever it is. But I have found that my world doesn't support that as it used to.
Right.
So now I have incorporated it into different things. I mean, obviously every day I say a prayer to my ancestors and I work with that as part of my ritual.
Yeah.
And, you know, holding a crystal and doing that as a part, and I mean, it's very real for me to do it every day, mostly because that's the one time I can ground center and focus while I'm feeding the dogs and my coffee's brewing and I'm, you know, getting ready for that moment of shifting into taking off and flying.
Right.
And my car.
And I think we default to meditation. Like, daily practice has to be meditation, and you should be spending so much time just sitting and opening to the universe. And absolutely, meditation is a great practice. But it, not everyone is that going to fit for. We're not all the same.
Right.
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 And I say this in my classes all the time. I don't want to forget to say it. We're talking about a daily practice, not a daily perfect.
Right.
Right. So you also have to cut yourself some slack and know, if this thing doesn't work for me, then I'm going to try this other thing.
Right.
Figure out what does work for you. And know that at some point you're going to get bored with it and you're not going to want to do it anymore. And try to do it a little bit longer.
Right.
Because often boredom is a sign that something is about to happen. Right. It's like it's your psyche saying, uh-oh.
Yeah.
There's something beyond this, and we want to shut that down a little bit, right? Your toxic self gets in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So when boredom comes, it's often a signal that you should just push a little bit further and see what happens. Yeah.
True. And I know we've, you know, obviously we've sat, both of us recently, and just, you know, quickly noted what we wanted to talk on this show about. And I want to say free form because we are basically talking about things that, hey, we've tried or we've been around people who have. We know what our, you know, what we see, lighting a candle, doing different things on a regular basis. And not always, I think, in the morning.
Right.
You know, I think that's the other part of it. It's like I find walking my dogs a meditation, which is kind of interesting because they're very hyper. They're puppies. So walking them is a challenge. It's definitely like taking your kid out at a two-year-old level and having them all over the place. But it's a meditation to be present with what is going on.
Right.
And I look, and I've started doing this more often. I'm sure this is going to become an interesting thing if anyone saw me, is I close my eyes and walk with them and feel the air or feel the sun.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I do that all the way down the walk. I just take it for, you know, a little bit and allow that moment to experience it, because that's as much within the reality of where I'm at, is using that as a point of fact.
Right.
So meditation doesn't have to be long, and it doesn't have to be sitting. That was a word that didn't want to come out. And it could be a different kind. It can be walking. You know, I know that a lot of my clients, I suggest, you know, yoga, which is obviously a wonderful practice, but people don't have the time, so I go three poses.
Right.
Just three poses.
Right.
Just that's all.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's that moment.
And meditation can also be following your breath
mm-hmm.
and noticing your inhale and exhale without trying to change it or slow it down,
mm-hmm.
just noticing it and taking
mm-hmm.
a minute. You know, there's all these apps now for
mm-hmm.
daily practice.
Oh, really?
And set an alarm or whatever or have it remind you,
mm-hmm.
okay, it's time to do your breathing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And different corporate worlds now, different corporate jobs are incorporating, these things into the daily routine because what science is discovering is if every half hour, 45 minutes, I can't remember the timing around it now, but if every once in a while
mm-hmm.
you look up from your work
mm-hmm.
and you intentionally breathe and you notice where you are, and there's a thing about using your other senses besides vision for a moment.
Right.
So what can you hear? What can you smell?
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Incorporating your other senses. And then it's 60 seconds, then you go back to work.
Right.
Right? So it can be these moments, but you need to do them throughout the day so
mm-hmm.
that you are breaking up the pattern and
right.
space and you're reconnecting to your body.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, that again goes to our concepts of we are of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the world. And we are also beyond the world.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of those aspects need to be incorporated consistently because spiritual practice or intentional spiritual practice is we're here.
Yeah.
We're not escaping.
Right.
You know, and the idea of running away. Meditating is becoming clearer, whether you do it in a seated position or you do it just like you said, a momentary touch here, whatever, is that you become centered
yeah.
in where you are.
Right, right.
And that means on this planet.
Right. And there are other ways to meditate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Transcendental and guided imagery and
mm-hmm.
all of these things that
mm-hmm.
take you away.
Right.
Right. But some of these practices are about becoming present and being here.
Mm-hmm.
And even those kind of meditations, this is where technology is really invaluable because you can download MP3s of a guided meditation
mm-hmm.
or a drum rhythm
mm-hmm.
or the sound of water flowing
mm-hmm.
or whatever, so you can put that on if you need something. In certain spiritual traditions, we have these different selves, and it's also very Jungian,
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the talking self. That is often what gets in our way when
right.
we come to silence. It's like, oh, don't forget the laundry, or oh, you got to pay that bill, or oh, don't forget Saturday, that thing you committed to do. And what the attempt is in daily practice
mm-hmm.
in general is to have that voice be quiet for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because that voice is the voice that gets in between our fetch, our animal body,
mm-hmm.
and our spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
So we can communicate because the talking self is
mm-hmm.
in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when we can quiet that voice or distract that voice,
mm-hmm.
with counting or following the breath,
right.
it's easier for our divine self, our God self, to speak or to be heard.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's part of it, too, is distracting that talking self.
Oh, yes. We definitely
yeah.
have distraction as a way of going into any other place but.
Yeah.
And I know that I do a lot of, over the years, I've got lots of, you know, you're going to hear this. It went from little cassettes
mm-hmm.
to CDs
yeah.
to now MP3s and all the different things that you do. But I have always had them, and when I was in corporate America and I was doing events coordinating,
yeah.
I it was the CD time, so I had my headset and my CD player, and I'd stick it in a little pouch, and I'd go take my break, and we had a very large parking lot. This was a lumber company, so I was in one of the big divisions, and I just looked at them, and rain or shine, I just go, I'm gone, and I walked around the parking lot, probably three or four circuits, listening to this music and just, you know, getting into it. Sometimes they would look at me and shake their head because I was just, you know, I was really into it. But it was a way to shift
yeah.
the process and to get into some other level
right.
and see the beauty rather than the frustration because nothing was working out at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
But, yeah, music and meditational countdowns, these are all important.
Yeah.
And
chanting, too. Chanting, it's really big in most Eastern traditions to chant. You chant.
Mm-hmm.
The Om Mani Padme Om chant is about you know, the divine, the Om is supposedly the song the universe makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that tone is.
Mm-hmm.
So when we chant that chant, we are connecting to the universe and to that divine energy. And it is interesting, you know, a mala, one of those necklaces
mm-hmm.
you see, it's like a rosary,
mm-hmm.
I think. but you chant Om Mani Padme Om or whatever chant, but it's 108 chants.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to count because you have the beads, right? And
mm-hmm.
it is, and I'm assuming that a rosary works the same way. I don't know. I've never done that kind of prayer work, but I have done the chanting with a mala.
Right.
But it does start, you get into this place of repetition, and it allows you, your talking self is moving the beads through your hand and remembering the chant.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are allowed to let go. And I've done that chant where I am sobbing through the whole thing. I've
mm-hmm.
done that chant where I feel so much peace and elation. I've done that chant where I'm working through anger
mm-hmm.
because it connects me to something else and allows divinity to shine through and
right.
connect to something besides just my monkey mind.
Right, right, right. And that's the rosary. I've never done the rosary, but I've had relatives who were Catholic. So it was, you know, with the number of beads you say and then the Hail Marys and
right.
then there's a whole, so they have the same kind
right.
of rhythm of chanting with certain prayers
right.
and then
yeah.
you go around. So,
yeah.
you know, obviously this is universal.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean that one religion just or a spiritual practice just took it and then, you know.
No.
It's just everybody has found their way because, I mean, children sit and rock and talk or hum or something. And, you know, whether they're scared or they're happy or whatever, it's part of something much more primal.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And it's true also if you have deity that you work with
mm-hmm.
devotionally or if you have relationship with specific deity,
mm-hmm.
singing or chanting to them.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful daily practice,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have an altar set up for your relationship with
mm-hmm.
with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going and sitting at that altar and chanting to that God and pouring them their offerings for the day or whatever the case
right.
may be. It's a really lovely way to give of yourself, to spend some time in daily practice, but it's not about you. It's about this relationship
mm-hmm.
with divinity
mm-hmm.
and connecting mm-hmm. to that. And that, you know, I do that. We do that at the shop every day. We chant to Lakshmi and
mm-hmm.
we thank her for prosperity and we
mm-hmm.
thank her for being the patroness of milk and honey and
mm-hmm.
we sing to her every day. That's one of the daily practices of being an employee of milk and honey.
It's a beautiful practice.
And for me, I sing to Bridget every day. Bridget
mm-hmm.
is a poet. That's one of her divine blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a poet, but I can chant and sing to her and show my appreciation for our relationship that way.
Right, right. And I know that one of the things that, I mean, I actually have a spiral outside and
mm-hmm.
of rocks, and for whatever timing I choose to do it when it's not pouring rain,
yeah.
I will go walk it.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things are, it's a pattern, and it's set up, and scientifically they've actually gone and measured all these things so that science, again, has
yeah.
come back to saying, oh, look at what this actually does, and we're going like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
All right, nice of you to catch up, science.
Yeah, really. So, you know, doing something on that level, a labyrinth, a spiral, you know, a lot of people actually just do it by walking around their neighborhood and they have a specific path they take.
Right.
It's the same kind of process, but I think that's, and now that we got spring, it's really a nice thing to go out and find things like that. I know in our area we have several labyrinths and,
yeah.
and things that are available for people to,
yeah.
to go find.
There's actually not a labyrinth, that's silly. There's a website that, of course, I can't remember the name of, but it wouldn't be easy to find, but
uh-huh.
it's Labyrinth Finder.
Yes,
and
yes.
you can type in any zip code in the, I think just the United States, although Canada might be included in
mm-hmm.
that, I'm not sure. But you put in any zip code, and it will tell you where there are labyrinths
mm-hmm.
near you that you can go and walk.
Yeah, that are public.
Yeah.
That are, yeah. And I know I've done that when I was in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't done that, but you've just given me a challenge. I will do that when I go to Arkansas
Hi.
For the summer. I'm going to type in and see if there's a labyrinth where my daughter is at that I can go walk.
Nice.
So I will get back at the next time afterwards to see if, you know, just to say, yep, I found one, and it was over in wherever.
Yeah, and we could do a whole show on the labyrinth and its spiritual meanings and the difference between a maze and a labyrinth and blah, 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 but there is a lot there as far as what you can do with the labyrinth and different ways to work it and walk it and connect to it. And I recommend reading about what the Swedish ancestral practices are with the labyrinth because it's very interesting. And there's a labyrinth at Lucky Mojo.
Yes, there is.
That I have walked many times.
Yes.
More times than I could count, where I've left crap in the middle of it and ran away, where I've... I did a full moon ritual at that labyrinth where we set candles up and we there's like a dozen of us and one person at a time walked the labyrinth.
Ooh.
It took forever.
Uh-huh.
It was really beautiful.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So yeah, labyrinths are
they're an awesome spiritual device.
So we should probably take a break.
Yes.
And then when we come back we'll talk more about other daily practices.
Sounds like a plan to me.
We'll be back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Boxu with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Westrum, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
We're back!
Yay!
Yay! Boy, that's always such an enlivening...
The genie music?
Genie music.
We always dance.
I love that.
Yeah. So. All right.
Next.
So, one of the things that I did as a daily practice, and I still do, but it's taken on different forms, is divination.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give a warning. So I've done this too. We sell pendulums at Milk and Honey, and often people are like, oh, a pendulum, tell me how this works. And so, you know, I explain the pendulum, and it answers yes and no questions. And how I was taught was you hold a pendulum and you say, show me yes. And the pendulum will move and show you what its yes looks like. Because each pendulum could be different. And some pendulums won't like you. And they'll do nothing. And other pendulums will be like, oh, my God, we're best friends. And they'll move very wildly or rapidly. And some yes looks one way, and for some yes looks a different way, blah, blah, blah. But something I've noticed over the years is people can get a little bit addicted to their pendulum, where they won't make any decisions without consulting the oracle, which is understandable. I get it. But sometimes you just have to make a decision. And when you are giving all of your power over to an object or a system to make your decisions for you, it's a slippery slope.
Right.
Right? You still need to take responsibility. So be cautious with doing divination every day. When I do divination every day, and I've done this with tarot cards, with a pendulum, with runes, when I was trying to learn the Om system, the Celtic trees, which I did never master. I don't, still don't understand it completely. I've done that. I know someone who does I Ching and bone reading, right? So all of these systems of divination you can do or I have tried. But what I do is I say, what do I need to know about today? And I draw one card or one rune or what have you just to get a little insight on what do I need to know about today? I'm not asking like, all right, tarot cards, show me what the future holds today. I have to know every minute what's going to cross my path. I can't handle any surprise. No, because that's not how life works. But getting a little bit of insight, or I use the goddess oracle cards the first of every month. I do a reading with the goddess oracle cards, and I pull four cards, and I ask four questions. What is the light? What is the shadow? What is the action I need to take? What is the experience I need to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of these cards are like, oh, don't go anywhere on April 14th. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it gives me some insight on the energy that might be swirling around me for the month and what could potentially be a pitfall or what could be really fun or what I need to focus on, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about energetics.
Right.
Then warnings, or you will meet Prince Charming today, or you're going to win the lottery today. Or
right, right.
I get concerned when people get addicted to divination.
Yes, and for those of us who are readers, for them to get addicted to reading. So that's just in advance, because obviously come the end of the month, we will be doing our
show
on divination. But I know that I've used the divination for, as a matter of fact, yearly. You know, I've done it for monthly. I've done it on the daily. At one point, that was how I learned how to do the tarot.
Yeah, that's how I learned runes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pull it, and you have to live it, experience it. And I started only with the major arcana cards because those are, you know, bigger life lessons and have bigger meaning. So I really wanted to get into the juicy part of experiencing it. And so it was fascinating, and it really did have meaning for what was going on. You just had to stop using it as, you say, a crutch or a way to, oh, and this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to get my thus, and we want that because we want to be secure.
Yeah.
We want to feel secure. We're going to know what's going to happen.
Right.
Or
to have something to blame, right?
Of course.
Oh, I drew the Ten of Swords. I knew today was going to suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to know, to say, oh, I knew this was coming, or today's crap because.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's true for sure. And also it's not.
Right.
You know?
It's part of. As there's an up, there's a down. It just means knowing how to handle the ups and downs, so to speak. But divination is definitely, you know, one of the things. Actually, there was a, one of the things that one of my friends had suggested I do at one point was using a candle flame. And, you know, using that as a meditational tool, but to work with it every night.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for divination. It was just the concentration.
Right.
But again, I only did it for a month because within that month's time, the energy that you needed to experience was beginning, middle, and ending.
Yeah.
Kind of a full circle.
Yeah.
So sometimes divination can be used for just a month. You can do it one a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like also lighting a candle as a daily practice. There's something really beautiful and primal about a candle flame, and also lighting incense, just setting something on fire, setting something on fire that changes, I don't know, it changes something, having the room filled with smoke, you know, giving yourself an opportunity to use sage or Palo Santo or some burning smoke. It shifts you. It's a way to cleanse your spirit. You know, we all know that, right?
Right.
But it also, it shifts your mindset. It shifts you. And doing, that was one of the daily practices we did with the Druid Order. We had to burn, those little buds that we often use in love work for hoodoo. Anyway.
Well, we both went blank on that one.
And it'll come to me in 20 minutes when the show's over. So we burn these little seeds and smoke ourselves. Like, you had to stand over a bowl with the seeds because they were burning. And it takes, you know, it's a daily practice. It shifts your mind, and it shifts your body, and it shifts your spirit. Yeah.
Exactly. And that, you know, what we do on a daily basis will, again, people talk about running energy. You know, you ground however you choose. Some people ground in the center of the universe, and some ground in the center of the earth, and then you center yourself, and then you do protection. I mean, every day that I leave, I do protection on my car and myself, because spirit love them. There's a lot of strange people out there driving. And so it's a way of not controlling,
yeah.
but working with
yeah.
the energies of life that you go out and experience every day.
Right.
So,
and that's true as well with protections or setting an intention before you leave your house.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain pieces of jewelry I put on
mm-hmm.
that are connected to some of my deity relationships or connected to the energy. Different pieces of jewelry to me represent different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm feeling a certain way and I need a boost in one direction or another direction, that will impact what I may choose to wear
mm-hmm.
that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And certain pieces of jewelry I've done magical work on where I've anointed them with protection oils or prosperity oils
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And whatever it is I think I need a little bit boost of, that's what goes on. And it goes on with prayer and it goes on with intention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I can leave the house knowing I've done that daily practice at
right.
work to set up my day in the way that I need it set up.
Mm-hmm. And we do that. It goes even to the clothes we wear.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as kids, we didn't necessarily think about it. Our mom just wanted us to look nice and, you know, certain things. And then we'd have certain clothes that we just loved because we felt really good about. But when we choose to go out, whether it's in corporate America or it's not, it has a different feel, we choose things with intent for what we want to do. And that is as much a ritual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As, you know, what we've been talking about and anything else. Because if you put thought to it, now, I mean, there are days when I just grab something and I throw it on my body because I got to get out of here and do whatever.
Yeah.
I remember doing that, taking my kid to school. That
sure.
was, you know, there were more times that I had sweats on than I can count a stick at. But, I mean, since I don't have children now, I don't have that immediacy, but I do occasionally have to jump out and go do something, but I usually do everything else with a thought
mm-hmm.
to what I want to be, and I may put something out and wake up in the morning and go, no, that's not
yeah.
going to go because there's a different feel. And that's part of a practice, is knowing how it flows.
Right.
And just like you were saying, when things start to change, know how to shift it up to keep things going and moving.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, heck.
Yeah, there's a saying, you dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about that saying, because when I was in the corporate world, the company I worked for the longest time implemented a dress code about halfway through my tenure. And I worked there for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I ran a 24-hour department. So I had people come into work who worked the overnights
mm-hmm.
in their PJs. And I didn't care,
mm-hmm.
right? They're here overnight. Nothing's happening. Let them wear their freaking PJs.
Right.
But about halfway through my employment there, we had a manager's meeting, and they said, what if we had implemented a dress code? And, of course, that means we as senior management have already decided we're implementing a dress code. We just are going to run it by the management staff to see if they're going to freak out on us or not.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they said was, well, you dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. However, I've now seen memes on Facebook or what have you, where you see someone dressed like Batman
uh-huh.
or Wonder Woman
uh-huh.
or whatever, and that they're dressing for the job they want, not for the job they have. And I like that from that perspective,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that puts you in touch with another part of yourself that, for the most part, we put away in a closet
mm-hmm.
until vacation or day off
right.
or, you know, at the end of the job.
Right. Yeah.
So definitely, I think that's great. I've
yeah.
got to, that I've got to remember.
Yeah, pull that Wonder Woman outfit
oh,
out
yeah.
of the closet and dress for the job you want.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah.
part and parcel. So
I'm curious if you, if Kala is part of something that, see, in the fairy tradition, they do a daily devotional practice called Kala,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposedly Hawaiian. I'm
mm-hmm.
using air quotes.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, explain it, and I'll tell you if that's the right, what I have.
So what I was told was that a Kala rite is you get a glass of water, and you kind of put in all of the crap. And,
mm-hmm.
like, I need to release this. I'm letting this go. This no longer serves me. I'm putting it all into the water, all into the water, all into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do a prayer or a chant or a sacred symbol
mm-hmm.
over the water, and you transform that water
mm-hmm.
from the yuck into a blessing, and
mm-hmm.
then you drink it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so much a fan of putting crap into the water and then transforming it and drinking it in. I'm more of a put the water in the water, bless the water, and drink that in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to take the risk that I missed a molecule of crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's a, I know that's a practice in the fairy tradition.
Well, here's the thing. We have Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
We have all of these different things that have been taken, which are Hawaiian.
Yeah.
They have their base, but they have been howled.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have been put into the wider tradition of what the humans that are not native
right.
can handle.
Right.
Period. The kahuna that I train with, Kahu Abraham, trained in all of the traditions. That's part of becoming a kahuna, is you train in all the traditions of that. His was navigational. Mm-hmm. And basically, that's why Moana makes so much intensity, is he comes from the tradition, and his lineage comes from the tradition of the voyagers,
right.
the navigators, the wayfarers. And instead, he chose, instead of obviously going from island to island in this beautiful, huge canoe that they would do, he did it with navigating the energies of the body. And that became how you work. So it went into a body work. Well, somewhere along the line, we had another individual, I choose to not name, choose to take the process and train in another way, more Howley, and he proceeded to take that and make it more popular. So my feeling of all of this is it's from that position.
Gotcha.
Kahu Abraham Howley'd it. He knew that he could not train people, first of all, as even the Native Americans, and I'm sure the Maoris and the Aborigines, you can't train
right.
a Howley or a non
right.
traditional person, because it's not about not being able to, it's that you aren't part of the culture and have lived and
right.
understand what it is that takes it on. I mean, we barely can make it through vision quests if we're talking Native American, okay?
Right.
So I honor that tradition, but I never assumed going into it and doing it in the manner that mm-hmm. will then, quote, air quotes it, be traditional. Kahu chose to do the same thing mm-hmm. with the navigational energies and the bodywork, because actually the bodywork was part of it. They would do, for every tribal member, they would do 3 days nonstop body work on the individual
right.
for them to process through their next level of where they were going from, you know, in transition. If you were going to be a chieftain, it was like a week nonstop.
Yeah.
And so there were these things that we would never be able to sustain.
Right.
So the answer to the question is, it is a howled version.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I also believe with you,
mm-hmm.
putting negative things into water to then transform to drink it
mm-hmm.
sounds more like a Tibetan tradition where you breathe in sorrow and transform it out into joy.
Sure.
So the same, I understand that.
Yeah.
Not that I've not done that, I have, but I think that what I would go with is the Ho'oponopono. I would change energies. I'd move the forgiveness. I'd forgive you. I'd forgive me. I'd forgive those. I'd do the joy process, not because I'm a love and lighter, but because that energy is the higher vibration energy
yeah.
that you need to be able to work with and move with. The others, you know, that's why I do the burning.
Right. Well, and, you know, there's something we talk about intention a lot and your belief. And I had this conversation like 3 times this week. People coming into the shop and they look at the stones that we carry
uh-huh.
and they're like, oh, my friend has a black tourmaline with them and he really believes that it shifts his mood. And, you know, I think it's just a placebo. I'm like, okay, fine. It's a placebo. Did it work? Who cares?
Uh-huh.
If it's working, it's working.
Right.
So if in my head I think this isn't going to completely transmutate and I'm still going to be drinking back in negativity,
uh-huh.
then I will be.
Uh-huh.
So it's better for me to just not mess with that.
Right. Exactly.
If it works for you, amazing. Do it.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I'll always have that little voice in my head that's like, oh, what if you missed a molecule?
Uh-huh.
Now you're just drinking that back in.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, one of the things about spirits cannot go across, you know, water,
right?
And putting water in a glass by your bed, just like the dream catchers and the different things that allow you to have these items or practices.
Right.
I mean, as much as I have my different versions of what my system is and where I'm true to it, I also have incorporated other things. I do put a glass of water by the bed, not to drink it, but to, you know, keep that energy from following over into my dream time.
And that's a valid point you bring up there that I wasn't even thinking about is, you know, we often think of daily practice as the things we do during the day or the things we do upon waking. But there's also this whole thing of what we do before we go to bed and how we set the intentions before we fall asleep and what we're doing. And that is also part of our daily practice. It's all of these things that we set and do in a repetition with intention.
Right.
And there's some really good things about closing your day in a specific way, coming to rest in a specific way. And we are, especially me, I have very poor habits around sleep. I am super addicted to electronics. And I have a hard time falling asleep without noise in the background. And I always feel so guilty about it, but it is what it is, you know. But shifting those things so that I turn off the electronics at a certain moment, and maybe I read or journal or do something around a more intentional daily practice, meditation, whatever.
Well, I know that for me, you know, like I said, I started my bedtime story. And I mean, it's not that I listen to the whole movie. I basically put a timer on my, you have timers now, lucky us, on our televisions. And I just do like maybe, you know, 10 minutes or 30 minutes, and then I just let it be that, and I'm going. But to me, it is like having mom read a bedtime story.
Right.
And that's how I've chosen to utilize that. I also tend to put on some music that I will then allow to turn off at a certain time. Or, you know, I love rainfall, so I usually wind up with that. It's interesting. I'm a fire sign, and I love rain. But I always know. There's a certain time when that has to come off because the electronics does change the vibration.
Our brains,
Well,
we're just about at time.
Oh, my gosh. This has gone so fast.
I know. And next week we are doing our show on divination where we will be doing free readings for
some
email and their questions. And we'll also be kicking off our Ask the Witch, Ask a Witch.
The witch, the big witch.
Ask your questions. So if there's something you want to know, if there's advice you need, if there's something you've always wanted to ask and you want some clarity on, if you go to our website, witchpriestesscauldron.com, there's a place where you can enter your question or ask for a free reading.
Okay.
We'll be doing that on the air next week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So that is, and we all made it through the equinox.
Hooray.
Yay, light, 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 light.
Yeah.
And, so, it was a good show.
Yeah. So go start your daily practice and tell us how it's going.
Yes. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.